As they pass out some offering envelopes, we do this for a reason, so that you can prayerfully seek the Lord about where you're to give. All my pastor friends will debate me, and a lot of others, especially the denominational pastor friends that I have, about tithing, offerings, alms and first fruits and so on. Because I believe that the tithe does need to come to the local church, the storehouse, but it's not a law. It doesn't have to. I don't know if you support this church and you're going here and getting fed here, I don't know why you wouldn't want to sow your finances into this church through your tithe or offering or whatever. But again, we're not under law. Jesus redeemed us from that curse. And now it's a joy to give. Very seldom do you hear teaching about tithing not being of the law. Because I'm here to tell you right now, it is not mandated that you tithe. Now, you won't hear that probably from any place or any pastor except the ones that I hang with. Because of grace and what Jesus did, now we don't have to tithe because of law. We get to tithe because we're entering into the system that God created called seed, time, and harvest. And that's a way greater system than the system of this world. Who would agree with that? Because if you're in the stock market, it's up and down, and that's a world system way of doing some things. Now, it's not that you can't be in it. You need to. If you want to invest, then start seeking God where to invest and the best place to invest in, and he'll show you some great companies that honor God and so on, and you'll make some money. It'll be a blessing to you. But the system, though, that I'm talking about is worldly. That's why it goes up and it goes down. But God's system does not go up and down. It's just up. I've never seen a seed that a farmer plants that is properly cared for, fertilized, and then watered, not spring forth. Now, I've seen some farms up in the panhandle that are dry farming. They want the rain to come, and sometimes the rain doesn't come. But usually, I don't know if it's ever happened before, that there'll be some type of sprout. It might be very small, but it's going to come up. Most people up there have to have a pivot to water those crops. But I'm here to tell you, when it's done correctly and it's prayed over, even those dry farmers will produce a harvest. It's the same with the seed. It's amazing that we're going to talk about seed this morning, but here, when we're talking about finances, it's amazing that seed is very important in the kingdom of God. Because it's not just talking about finances that we're talking about right now to help run a church or build buildings debt-free or whatever. But it's also trying to get your life in order, that when you're planting the seed of the Word of God, it's going to produce something for you. So the seed of finances, though, into some good ground, into the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, needs to produce a harvest. And it will if you start doing it correctly. When you're sowing that seed, the Bible talks in a few places about doing it cheerfully, not grudgingly. You know, in Galatians, the Bible talks about whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In the King James, So there's something about sowing a seed. Because if you don't sow a seed, you cannot reap the harvest. Yeah, but I sow time. I mean, I give a lot of time, yeah, but all you'll get back is time. Because you notice the scripture says that as a man soweth that, what he sows, he'll reap. So start thinking about it correctly, y'all. When you sow finances, you should expect a harvest. When you sow love, you should expect love back. If you sow anger, that is what you will probably get back. If you sow to your flesh, the Bible says your flesh will reap corruption. But if you'll sow to the spirit man, that's why we're getting into the Word of God this morning, your spirit will reap life everlasting. Amen? Okay, so start thinking as seed. Everything in the kingdom of God is seed. I'll show it to you today, including your finances. But here's the key. God wants you to have a lot of finances. Listen, he just doesn't want it to have you. Amen? He wants you to be blessed, blessed, blessed financially so that you can get out of debt, so you can help spread the gospel, so you can help your neighbors or whatever. But he just doesn't want it to control you. Amen? So don't let money control you. You control it by spreading the gospel to Jesus Christ. And that's why you give unto the Lord. So let's come plant some seeds. If you have seed to give, come give it with a big old shout of praise. Come on. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, that's the first time. I've never seen this before. That's a little man right there. Yeah, y'all. No, it's usually the girls. He did. He said, get on out of here. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I got it. No wonder. He's giving them candy. Thank you, brother. I need that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give these kids a big round of applause. Glory be to God. That started a few years ago where they had start coming up here and just receiving it. And tell you what, it's teaching kids. If you start being a seed sower right now, you won't have to go get 16 jobs and go borrow all kinds of money and get in major debt. No, man, you'll do it. I'll show you someone that owed no man but to love them. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, let's pray over that. Father, everything that the people gave this morning, the ones that gave last week or whenever, I thank you, Lord, for the seed. The seed. And that's what it takes to spread the gospel, and that's what it takes to pay the church's light bills and all the rest of the stuff. But Father, it's too the spreading of the gospel. When we help those missionaries or the other ministers around the country, Father, I thank you, Lord, that this seed will produce a harvest. But Father, bring it back to these people. Cause them to begin to get that spirit of debt, that spirit of broke, bondage off of them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it. And Father, cause them to have an understanding that the reason you started the principle of seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, is for their good, for our good. Not to harm, but to be a blessing in the kingdom. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that we, as we receive it to you, will use it with integrity, with honor, sir, and that's all it'll be done with, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to grow this church. to build it as we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
Great, great report. I'm not going to tell you who. They didn't give me permission, but I told you last week we needed about $10,000 to get the rest of the money to start the foundation, the plumbing, and all the things of the kids' church that's going to be, when you go out these four, these two double doors, the four doors, and you hit a wall, that wall will be knocked out because that's actually a hall that goes to, I believe there's going to be four, five, six, seven, eight rooms and four bathrooms. If you haven't seen it, we need to get the sign out. I don't know if it's gotten hid. Is the sign right over there of the what the church is supposed to look like? We need to pull it out and let people look at it. But I said we needed about $10,000. I was wrong. We actually needed $12,000. But a couple came up to us after church and handed me a check for $10,000. And then a day or two later, someone came up and gave me another $10,000. Now listen. Gave it to the church, of course. That's how the kingdom of God actually works, because people believe in something, then they're going to sow into it. Of course, I can't thank all of you, because it doesn't matter if it's that $10,000 or... I remember when we first bought this land, I had a lady come up to me at the Austin Rodeo and said, "The Lord told me to give you." And she was giving it to our personal ministry, but I knew where it was supposed to go because I'd been praying. She handed me a check for $75,000 that I put as a down payment on this land, and that helped start the seed to buy the land before we even had this building. And then I used $4,000 to buy a tent, and we put a tent. Who was here during the tent days? That was a great time. Because the tent was out here, and it held about 150 people maybe. And there would be times when they were all out in the grass because we couldn't fit them under that tent. And then, as y'all know, we started building this building debt-free. But listen, how many of you know when we believe for certain things that we have to continue to believe? Because after we believe for the foundation that's going to start in 1 week, I believe a concrete guy said they're about a week out. Well, how many of you know we got to keep believing? Because then we got to do the rest of it, which is we need to frame it up. And then we need to start putting the walls up and the roof on and the electricity and all that. And all that's going to be so that we can get those kids out of the concession stand and out of the announcer stand and out of the bookstore and put them in some rooms where they really need to be. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll get behind this and you'll start sowing into it like I do and like these people have done. Matter of fact, one couple said that every time someone gives, I don't care if it's $1,000, they'll match it. So I can tell God is really starting to cause it to happen faster now. And now we've been praying about this for about 3 or 4 or 5 years. And as the leader, I'm like, "Oh, come on, Jesus." I mean, I don't even have an office that we're supposed to build over here. I'm in that little shack out there. But I do not care, because we're going to have the patience. We're going to talk about that today too. Patience to keep believing God. And so it started. And hopefully by next week or the next, you'll start seeing some boards up and some concrete in and some white pipe sticking out of it. And to the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I know we're a young church of about 15 years old. And so we don't, you know, most churches are 100 years old, 50 years old. But you got to start somewhere, amen? And so y'all that believe in this church, thank you so much. We got to keep believing, amen? Keep believing. Because when we build that kids' church and all those rooms, watch what happens to our church. It'll double. Because those kids, I grow a church on kids. Because if the kids are happy and they're getting fed the Word of God, they're going to bring mamas and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Amen? And so we got to be thinking about our kids so that we can keep reproducing. I know churches that only think about just the ones that are there, and eventually that church will get old and they'll die. But if you're not reproducing, then that church will be no longer. But if you are, hallelujah, we can keep this thing. When I leave, I want this thing to continue on in Jesus' name. Amen? And the only way I'm leaving right now is when I go to heaven. Amen? And that's not right now. I'm here to tell you. Agree with me on that one, please. Thank you, Lord. Right, Mama? We don't want to go. You want to stay? Okay. Jamie, like. With a big round of applause, let's dismiss all the youth. If you're a youth 12 and up, you got to go. I mean, don't miss out. And if you're 11 or under, you got to go too, because it's a blessing time. Give them a hand, y'all. Dismiss out the back end. Real excited. What's going on in our church? Our church, our youth has gone from about 5 or 6 to 40. And praise God to the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Love it. Where'd everybody go? Praise God. Glory be to God. How many brought your Bible? You bring your Bible? Hold them up. Let me see all the Bibles. I love to see the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for bringing your Word. I had a young man tell me, I really don't have a Bible, so I made sure he had one next day. I won't get you. If you don't have a Bible, or if you want one right now, we've got some cowboy Bibles in the back. It'd just be the New Testament, but thank God we're a New Testament church, so you'll get it. If I go to the Old Testament, you'll just have to listen to me and then go back to the New. Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. All of you that are watching live right now from all over probably have one or two in Louisiana right now. Glad to have you. They know who I'm talking about. One's from Iowa, Florida, the Dakotas, California. All you that watch us, it's an honor to have you. So I want you to grab your Word and let's get into it. Thank you guys here for... Did you turn to Luke chapter 8? I want to ask you some questions before we dig into this Word. Have you ever had anybody talk to you, communicate about the Bible, that some things just don't seem to work for you? Now, I'm pretty sure in this group, not going to have many hands, but honestly, I've heard that. Well, the Word doesn't work for me like somebody else. Things like healing. I prayed for God to heal me, and it just hasn't happened. So maybe that's just God's will in my life that I'm not healed. Or how about an example of tithing? You know, I've tried that tithing stuff that y'all teach, and I haven't seen the 100-fold return. It doesn't work for me. When they tell me that, I'll say, well, how long you been doing it? Well, 6 months. And then it's an opportunity to teach. Yeah, but how old are you? Well, I'm 45. So for 45 years, you've been doing it this way, and now you're starting to do it this way for only 6 months, and you've got all the training and teaching and thinking that you've learned and been taught this way is now you're trying to expect it to work in 6 months this way, you see. And before you know it, you start justifying things like, well, you know, God doesn't heal everyone. Because if he did, he would have healed grandmama. Maybe it only works for, you know, so-and-so because he's an usher. Or that guy's the preacher. It's supposed to work for him. He's closer to God. I've had people say, hey, I'm going to ask you to pray because I know you got a great, quick connection to God. You ever heard that? Many times I've, but, you know, it's just not working for me like it does others. Why is that? Jesus actually dealt with this in Luke chapter 8 that I believe needs to help set every one of us free. Anytime I preach, who do I preach to? Me. And I think that ought to be a policy of any pastor. And it is to the ones I know. We're receiving the word of God, the word of truth that's making us free. So why does the word seem, and I want to emphasize seem, to not work for some? Let's just see what Jesus had to say about it. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city, talking about Jesus, every village preaching and showing the glad tidings, the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom 7 devils went, or went 7 devils. Jonah, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, many others, which ministered unto him of their substance, they were all with him. And when much people, the Bible says in the Amplified, a great throng, were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. Look at me. Because he knew that he needed to make it practical for one to understand what is he fixing to teach. So he said, let me show you this in a parable. Now, mindful of people that were just healed, devils were cast out. I mean, some things were happening with the people that were around him, as well as the 12. And he began to say this, a sower, verse 5, went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground, sprang up, bear fruit 100-fold. That's where we get that 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, he that has ears, let him hear. Let me say it again. He, talking about all of us that have ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. You know, I know I've got a microphone, but here he's just speaking. You've got to get this. And if you've got ears, hear this. Hear this. Now, I know this might be a very basic message for a very mature believer. But you'll be surprised the people that need what Jesus is preaching and teaching right here. And he's talking about seed. Check this out. Verse 9, and his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable be? What's the meaning, sir?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand." So I'm going to speak it in a parable right now, Jesus is saying. But the parable is this, verse 11, look. Say it with me. The seed, say it, is the word of God. Say it again. The seed is the word of God. Let's say it all together. The seed is the word of God. Did you get that? The seed is the word. Look at me. The seed is the word. The seed, that's the word. Why is he saying that? Because he's fixing to explain the seed that he talked about up in verse 5 down to verse 8. Now, I ask you the question, why does it seem like the word doesn't work for some? He's explaining it to us right now. Are y'all ready? Now, get a hold of this, y'all. The reason that I want you to focus right now is because Jesus himself said, if you've got ears to hear, hear this. Hear this. Hear this. Hear this. Don't let this go in one ear and out the other. No, you've got to hear it. Listen to me. Hear this. Hear it. I'm reminded of blind Bartimaeus, you know, when he was at that gate called Beautiful, and he heard Jesus was coming, because I'm sure he's making a ruckus. Oh, my Lord, there's thousands of people coming, or there's a lot of people coming. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, you don't know, son? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's coming. You're talking about Jesus, the one that healed the leper? The one that raised Lazarus from the dead? I heard about it. And he's blind, of course. So as Jesus comes, what does he start doing? Jesus, have mercy on me. He can't see him. He's got to be coming. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. Because, see, he heard something. I mean, he didn't physically see it. He didn't see Lazarus come forth from the dead after 4 days. He didn't see the healings and the miracles. He probably didn't see this woman that had 7 demons cast out. But he had heard it. Now Jesus is saying, if you've got ears to hear, hear this. Hear this. So let's hear it. Look at after Jesus declares to us in a parable that the seed is the word of God. Look at the first way that things don't actually work for people that are believing for something. Those that the seed fell by the wayside. Remember, the seed is thrown out, and the seed is what? The word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil, takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Listen, a lot of times people allow that the enemy, once they've received that word, it happens even in church when you'll hear a message from the Lord, you'll leave out the gates of this ranch and then things happen. The enemy then and will call someone maybe to call you that is going through the very same thing and has been going through it for years and years and years and years. And then he begins to work in your mind, because where is the battle? Bible says it's in the mind, right? Because if the enemy can get you to meditate on his thought, then he can cause some havoc in your mind. And before you know it, your mind's thinking things like, I don't know if that word actually works. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Oh, I got it. Maybe I need to pray more. That should do it. No, yeah, but dadgum, I'm praying all the time. Okay, I need to read the Bible more. That's it. And before you know it, you're thinking you got to do all kinds of rules and regulations, but really you just need to believe and not allow the devil to try to steal that word out of your heart, because I'm here to tell you, he will. When you get this revelation of something that you're believing God for and you've sowed the seed, don't you think for one minute that the devil wants it to come to pass in your life? So he's going to try to, in a sneaky way, say, oh, come on, that preacher didn't teach it to you right. Oh, you're not good enough. That's the problem. You did so many things back when that more than likely it's being held against you. You see, all y'all that are raised Catholic, you probably understand this a lot, because, you know, if you don't understand what Jesus did for you, being a Catholic, and if you hadn't been born again, then you're going to have to take that sin to the priest, who then will hopefully sacrifice something and take it into the Holy of Holies. Well, thank God Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. He's the one that sacrificed his life that causes you now to go boldly to the throne of God. And you can take Jesus being the sacrifice and go to God Almighty. Amen. But the devil is telling you, no, you're not good enough. You did something wrong yesterday. When in all reality, you may have planted the seed of something wrong, but you can't forget who you are in Christ Jesus, that you're made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which should cause you then to cast out all those bad thoughts, all those things, those imaginations that are coming against the knowledge of God, and replace them with what? The seed. Because see, the devil's going to try to, he's going to try to confuse you. Is God the confuser though? Of course not. No, the enemy's the confuser. He's the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. See, okay. I don't want to be this person. How about you? I don't want to be someone that the enemy comes and then tries to steal the word out of my heart. So we need to do some things, see. In other words, are you devoted to Jesus and what he did? Well, let's look at the second thing. We've got this wayside, how the seed was scattered. The devil came and took it out of your heart. But the second problem that causes people to maybe have doubt, fear, and unbelief is that they that are on the rock, the seed that fell on the rock, are they, verse 13, which when they heard or hear, received the word with joy. And these, having no root, for a while they believe, but in the time of temptation, they fall away. I mean, man, these people are believing the word of God. They're staying with it. Then a trial and tribulation will come up. Kind of like tithing. When you start to tithe, you know, the enemy doesn't want you to, He doesn't want you to see any kind of blessing. So here comes a lot of trouble. Now, if you don't know the word of God, you're going to blame it on God. It's because I started tithing. God gets the blame for a lot of things. But yet, we just found out in the first example, but it's the devil that tries to steal it out of your heart, right? Well, here is, you're believing this word. You've received it with joy. And then a little bit of time, and you're speaking that word, you're speaking that word. But when you don't see the results immediately, you go through a trial, a tribulation. It gets your mind off of what you're believing God for. Bam, before you know it, there's unbelief. There's doubting. You see, we don't want to be these people, of course. So what do? We stay in the Word of God. We stay in it. The Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. We got to keep standing, amen? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold on to it. Hold on to those teachings which you've been taught, whether by word or by an epistle. Keep standing on the word of God. Because you don't want to be a seed that was just thrown on some rocks, that some moisture can't get to it. No, you keep believing no matter what. We're going to go through some things, y'all. The word never says that being a believer in Jesus Christ, we now have, you know, no more temptation. We can't see any evil. No, no, we understand that we live in a world, but we're just not supposed to live of the world, right? Trials and tribulations are going to be all around us. But by golly, what Jesus did, we have victory because of him. We don't have to fall to the temptations. If you start studying out Romans, you'll find out that we don't have to have sin have dominion over us. We have dominion over it. We can say no to sin just like we can say yes to Jesus. And we can say yes to sin just like we can say no to Jesus. Here's the key, though, is we stay in the Word of God. Because you don't want that seed. What's the seed? The Word. To fall on hard ground like a rock. Then it starts talking about the third ways that a lot of times people don't see and don't experience the manifestation of the things that they're believing God for. In verse 7, it talked about how some fell on the thorns. Then it starts talking about it in verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they had heard the word, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and brings no fruit to perfection. I like the Amplified because it says, and for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked, suffocated with the anxieties and the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen or come to maturity or perfection. I'm talking about these people. It's almost there. It's almost there. I mean, that manifestation is right there. And then wham, with their mouth, they usually say things, well, it's probably not going to happen to me. It's almost like here we, man, I were right there, man. They got their eyes on all the cares of the world, all the things that they're going through, the things that they're believing for haven't come to pass yet. They're right there. Stand, buddy. Don't move. Don't back off. Don't go back to Babylon. Don't you do it. Stand, stand, stand. If you've got ears to hear this. Oh, it's right there. And bam, trial and tribulation, the cares of the world, temptation. Of course, they'll blame God. Well, I was believing, though. No, no. You let some things come in that then choked. I remember being raised West Texas, ranching Fort Stockton, Sonora, Ira Ann, Sheffield, all that country. A lot of mesquites, little, big. A lot of thorn bushes, a lot of thorn bushes. And those old sheep, we would try to be gathering them, and we were trying to get them to shear, get them sheared, get that wool off of them. But there would always be a few stuck in those thorn bushes. You literally had to get off your horse, tie him up to a tree, and go and rip, I mean rip that big old U off of, from in the midst of that thorn bush. Because if you left them, there were some bad things happen. They'd die. The predators, oh man, the predators, they'd be seeking out for one of those ewes stuck in a mesquite tree bush. I mean, those thorns would wrap into them, and a lot of times when you pulled them off, the thorns were still in the wool. That was the worst part of when we would be working those sheep and goats, is you would have to grab on to that wool to hold them. They would drench them with some wormer or whatever. Or they would, you know, you'd have to catch them and move them and put them in pens. Some of them, you know, just wouldn't follow. Man, you would always have just handfuls of thorns. It's amazing how Jesus is telling us a parable about thorns. Man, they hurt. I mean, think about it. The cares of this world. The enemy's constantly wanting you to focus on how tired you are from work. Some of the things with your body that you're going through. And if you focus on that and not on the seed of the Word of God, it starts choking, you see. Now, of course, we're fixing to get to the good part, right? Because what we want to have happen here is our fruit come to maturity or perfection. That's why at this church, the Bible says if we're sons of God, to be led by His Spirit. And I'm going to be led by His Spirit. I'm going to preach this word. My job as the pastor of this church and instructing these other ministers is to grow you people up, to grow me up. Because, see, we're trying to get to maturity spiritually so that when things happen out there, we don't blow it. We're not, you know, the one that they thought was a leader in the church that just did something that caused people to not believe in them anymore. No, we got to grow up. Remember that scripture that says we don't want to be, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, we don't want to be babies any longer. We need to grow on up. And that's why. It's time that we grow up. How do you grow up? Well, you start getting into the seed. We start getting into this word. I'm sure if we go through this crowd, there's a lot of bad things that are going on in people's lives. More than likely, the thing that you're going through personally, there's someone in here or watching that's going through a lot worse. Now, I'm sure that if we focused on those problems, woo, all of us are going to be crying. We're going to be upset. We're going to be speaking to the devil. That reminds me. If we don't allow the Word of God to choke out it, then... And I want you to hold your place here, but we need to look at this real fast. Because I quote this scripture in Mark 11 and 23 over and over. Mark 11 and 23. Just flip over to your left. And let's look at this, because what God's wanting is for us to let our fruit come to maturity. The seed of the Word of God to actually start growing in our lives. I mean, when the enemy, through people or whatever, tries to get you down or get you to blow it or get you to anger, get you to cussing, that we are mature enough to know, I'm not doing that. My flesh wants to, but I'm not going to. Look at Mark chapter 11 and 23, because if the Word of God is coming to maturity in our life, Jesus says in 23 of 11 of Mark, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," that's anybody, "shall say unto this mountain," what mountain? I don't know. Whatever you're going through, the mountain of sickness and disease, the mountain financially, the mountain of tiredness, the mountain of depression, the mountain of suicide or suicidal thoughts, the mountains of relationships that are broken, the mountains of trouble in marriages. I mean, it can go on and on and on. The mountain at your job, the mountain with employees, the mountain with your neighbors in your neighborhood. Whatever the mountain is, the Bible says, whoever shall say, that means you're going to have to say something, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says, what are you going to say, by the way? What are you going to say? The seed. What's the seed? You're going to say the word. So God's trying to help us here so that the word works for us, so that when we are believing God by the will of God about something in our lives, it's actually going to come to pass in our lives. Matter of fact, it'll actually start happening a lot faster, but there's going to have to be some patience, right? Because we don't want to start getting off of the word or the seed of the word of God and get them on the cares of the world, because that's going to choke some things out. We want to have that fruit that we planted, the word of God, come to maturity so that we can literally say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. And then we don't doubt in our hearts. No, we believe the word. We believe the seed. But we shall believe the things which we say shall come to pass. Read it with me. You shall have whatsoever you sayeth, in the King James. Okay, we can look at it in the Amplified if we want to. In the last part of that. And does not doubt all in his heart, and believes that what he says, what are we saying again? Say it loud. What are we going to say? We're going to speak the word over the mountain, right? Whatever the mountain is in our life. If it's addiction, we're going to speak to that mountain. And the only way to speak is speaking the seed of the word. Because the word is the seed. And the seed is the word. So we're speaking the word so that, in the Amplified, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Come on, someone say amen to that. I mean, because that's good news. That means the word's actually working for you. Okay, let's prove it. The fourth thing. Go back to Luke 8, verse 15. Remember, verse 8 says, "And some fell on good ground, sprang up, bear fruit hundredfold." All right, then it answers and helps you figure it out. But that seed that's on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Well, you've got a good heart. Look at me. If you're born again, you've got a good heart. You're born again. You got to convince yourself your heart's good. You just let some cares of the world, pleasures of the world, trials and tribulations, the devil stealing it out of your heart, try to mess your old mind up so you start meditating on all the bad stuff. Well, this word just doesn't work for me. I've done too many things wrong. This must be judgment. Lie, lie, lie. You lie, you fry, devil. You lying son of a gun. Why don't you get a little bit of maturity and start calling him out? You lying devil. How dare you mess with my family? Look at this. Look at. They have a good heart. They've heard the word. They keep it. They keep it. They keep it. They keep it. And bring forth fruit with what? Say it louder. With what? Patience. That's a terrible word to a lot of people. Patience. What? But Brother Kenneth Copeland just preaches about now faith. Hebrews 11:1. You hadn't paid much attention then. Because he's balancing it out with patience. Because it's taken a long time to have the success of that ministry has. But no one wants patience. They just want now faith. Now faith. Well, you can have that if you'll come to maturity in the Word of God. That when you speak to the mountain and you know who you are in Christ and you're not letting the devil, you should know who's in your mind. Because if it's not edifying to the body of Christ or to you, you know it's the devil. Then people go, yeah, but what if it's me? Well, wait a minute. Don't let that confuse you, because you being a believer, you have the mind of Christ, right? So if it's you thinking it, you've got the mind of Christ. You just need to weigh if it's the devil. Well, you're going to know if it's the devil. If it comes to steal, kill, and destroy, if it's hurtful, if it's done, not honest. Remember the word says honest in their heart. You're going to know if it's not honest and not right. That's when you say, no, devil. Get out of my mind in Jesus' name. I mean, what's wrong with us Christians? I mean, come on. You'll use that attitude in a lot of places. Why wouldn't you use that attitude when you're talking to the devil? Come on, women, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking that attitude you have. What you say to me, young lady? I will slap you into next week. Right? I mean, we're going to have that attitude of authority. What'd you say, girl? Because you got that, right? I mean, you're not going to let your kid rule you. I don't care how cute it is. Right? I know. Grandma would say, ain't she cute? Amen. No. We're going to have that attitude of, how dare you hurt me? Talking about me behind my back? Hey, I didn't fall down, Nat. I mean, I'm talking some attitude. She ever had that attitude of, she's already saying, yeah. I'm talking some attitude. What'd you say, devil? What? Jump frog? You want some of me? What? Get out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind. Okay. Now, if he gets out of your mind, what's replaced with it? The seed. The word of God. It's replaced with it, because don't think for one minute the devil's not going to say, uh-oh, that stuff don't work. It ain't working. It's counterfeit. Oh, I know what you did back in college. Mm-hmm. I saw you. I saw what you did last night. Before you know it, we're not speaking to the mountain with some maturity. We've fallen right back into fear, doubt, unbelief. I want this last ground, don't you? Let me say it again. I want this last ground, don't you? Because I want to see things happen in my life. Call me a radical Christian all you want to. Thank you. Call me a Jesus man. Hallelujah. I'll take it. I want to be mature so that the things that I'm believing for are not in the other three categories: the wayside, the rocks, and the thorns. I want some good ground. Now, let me check my watch. It's time. I want you to continue to read on this evening if you can. Just right during the two football games or something, just read. I want you to read 16 down to 18. I mean, it's some good stuff. Because it starts talking about the people that have spiritual knowledge will more be given. And for him that does not have that spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. Not us. Not us, guys. Now, what we're doing here is we're getting ready for heaven. Amen? That's what we're doing. We're actually supposed to do here like in heaven. Our Father, say it with me, who art in heaven, say it. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? As it is in heaven. Really, we're just getting prepared here for there. The reason things don't work in a lot of people's lives is because they're waiting for it to happen there when it needs to happen here. They're waiting for peace in heaven. No, you don't need it there. It's there. We need it here. Thank God I'm going to be healed in heaven. Yeah, that's true. You're right. Well, why don't you start changing your thinking and receive your healing here so that you can spend some more time spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to others? Maybe you can keep being a grandmama and grandpa. Or not just that, but you can keep being a mom and a dad. Because I'm seeing them die pretty young nowadays. 36-year-old just went to heaven. That's too young. It's too young. Y'all agree with that, right? 36 years old is too young to be dying from a cancerous disease. When if they just had the seed of the Word of God, and then they believed it. They didn't let anything choke it out. They didn't start focusing on the cares of this world. No, they just believed. And it took some patience. Yeah, maybe tithing is not working all the way for you right now. You keep doing it because you're honoring God. In other words, he's saying, well, thank God that money's not controlling them. When you hadn't seen your healing, you keep believing. Well, my great friends from California called me a couple of days ago, or I talked to him yesterday. And his wife, they're in their 40s, lost all feeling down her legs, or she can't walk. Was walking one day and it's just got weaker and weaker. Something is wrong. But I'm here to tell you that boy and that girl are believers. And I said, don't you let the devil come in and rob from her. You keep speaking life over her. He said, oh yeah, she's healed in the name of Jesus. I used to go to California for almost 10 years on Easter. So many people got saved every year I'd go. We'd do a church roping. You had to come to church to be able to rope for free. So all those cowboys and cowgirls, man, they're hundreds. Didn't have to pay an entry fee and got to rope for lots of cash, saddles and buckles and all kinds of stuff. So many people got saved. It was his family, the Greens, that I'd go and do that for. I said, you planted seed, brother. Or at least that's what I need to tell them, huh, mama? They have planted the seed that by the stripes of Jesus, what he's already done by dying, overcoming hell, the grave, defeated it, by the stripes of Jesus, Shonda is healed. Not hopefully, not maybe so. No, she's healed. Okay? That's the mountain. That's the mountain. That's what we got to do. Mm-mm. Yeah, it doesn't look good, but I'm not moved by what I see. Oh, it's not sounding good. Doctors aren't giving a very good report, but I'm not moved by what I hear. I am moved by the seed. And the seed is what? The word. Amen? So, let's get excited that we can grow up. Yeah, maybe some things, maybe we will go through some things. Let's go through them. And let's get built up. Because I'm here to tell you, I confess it over and over. Me and my wife do not go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. I get on through. I speak the word. I'm not staying in this. I mean, there's enough trouble in church that you got to deal with. I wish you didn't have to deal with any of it. Well, you just do. Okay, find me. I'll deal with it. Let's get through it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father, that we can live by this word. We're not here to play church just to be seen. Mm-mm. That's not doing anybody good. We need this word. And thank you, sir, for teaching it to us in a parable. We want seed that falls on good ground. Our hearts are soft enough just to receive anything according to your word. If it's correction, Father, we receive it. No matter who we are, preacher or no preacher. Father, if you need to correct me, I receive it in Jesus' name. I need my heart to receive this seed to be able to produce that hundredfold in whatever I'm believing in. So I speak to everybody in this place, everybody's body, from the top of it to the bottom of it. Father, we believe for divine health all the days of our life in Jesus' name. I pray over everyone's mind that's at the sound of my voice, that their mind is full of the seed of the Word of God. So when the enemy tries to come in, there's no room in our minds. That's our soulish realm. But then, Father, all that Word will get rooted into our spirit man and start causing maturity, fruit to come forth in our lives. I'm talking the fruits of the Spirit, like joy, all the way down to patience. And Father, no matter what, we're going to stand on this word. No matter what we go through, we're just going to get on through it because of the word. But we're not going to stay in a trial and tribulation. Let's get through it. We're not going to fall into temptation. Nope, we're smarter than that because we're matured because of the seed of the word of God. And Father, we give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I'm talking about you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died. I want you right now to choose heaven. And the only way to choose heaven is you've got to receive Jesus, the Son of God, as your Lord. You got to receive Him, the Lord of your life. How do you do that? Well, at this church, we pray Romans 10 and 9. And what 10 and 9 says in Romans, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God's been raised from the dead and Jesus is the Lord, you'll be saved. That's basically what it says. You're confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then you're believing that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You'll be saved. You'll bust heaven wide open if you just make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Have you done that? If you haven't, we're going to pray a prayer right now. All these people that are in here that are saved, born again, they're going to pray this prayer with you. But if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you died, I want you to make Jesus your Lord right now by praying this prayer with all of us. You ready? Even at home. If you're on the road, you're listening, however you're watching, pray this prayer as well. And let's pray it out loud. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Thank you, Jesus, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm born again, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just made Jesus the Lord of your life and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to stick your hand up, say, that was me, and then just put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to do it with boldness. If you just gave your life to Jesus, do not be ashamed of that. You didn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. What you just prayed, you're going to go to heaven because Jesus now is the Lord of your life. If that was you, get that hand up when I say three and then just put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Anybody? Okay, look at me. I didn't see one hand. Maybe some on TV, but that's good. But that means that all of us are born again and need the seed of the Word of God. So let's start believing, getting to maturity. Amen? Amen. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Yes. Well, why don't we stand up? I don't really have any announcements except continue believing with us for the rodeo coming up in March.